Hey there, I'm an animated Connor Walsh, which is kind of ironic because people say I'm pretty animated in real life. Anyway, welcome to Walsh Wednesday, my new slash old podcast. Let me explain. Back in high school in 2013, I was pressured by some friends to do an impromptu solo acoustic performance in my cafeteria. Believe it or not, people really took to it. And it turned into a monthly musical series I did through the rest of high school. Who said High School Musical wasn't realistic? By college, I turned Walsh Wednesday into a web series, focusing on interviews surrounding community events, charities, and local entertainment in the Hudson Valley and Capital Regions of New York. Walsh Wednesday spawned several spin-offs such as the Walsh Wednesday Concert Series, Walsh Wednesday Spotlights, and Walsh Wednesday The Reflective Series before its hiatus in 2021. After that, I spent the last 3 years working in radio, honing my craft, conducting unbelievable interviews, traveling to fascinating places, attending mind-blowing events, and meeting some of my personal heroes. Now, with the help of some awesome people I've met along the way, I'm bringing Walsh Wednesday back bigger and better than ever. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we have the return of Michael Tragesser. Following his last appearance promoting the podcast Room 215, he's in to talk about his role at John Marshall Media, one of the largest audiobook production studios in the nation. Mike helps peel back the curtain as to how your favorite audiobooks are made. Not to mention, he goes into his love of recording and music and where it all started. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. The last time that you saw this guy, he was on for the Room 215 podcast as we were promoting that. Now he's back to talk about his incredible job that he has in the city working in audiobooks. I think this is really fascinating. He's giving Nick a run for his money when it comes to how many times X has been on Walsh Wednesday. So here we go. With us today, we have my former roommate and studio manager of John Marshall Media. We have Mike Tragesser. Mike, how are you, man?
Doing good. It's a pleasure to be on Walsh Wednesday. I'm surprised that I haven't been on a full episode yet, but
I know, by yourself. Like, yeah. It was obviously you had the time in with Room 215, and there were so many projects that we worked on together back in high school. But yeah, it was just weird that this never happened. But I'm glad that we're getting into now. And I just got to say, you probably have one of the best big boy jobs out of majority of my friends that I know of. It's a really impressive job. Yeah. And I think, you know, just in like texting each other, messaging, or just conversations we have, I don't know, I feel like it goes overlooked, but you have a hell of an impressive job, dude.
Yeah, no, dude, I mean, it's, oh my god, it's really such a great gig. Love the place, love the people there. So essentially, John Marshall Media, we are the world's largest independent producer of audiobooks, and I run our studio in Manhattan. Day-to-day operations. I work the front desk. I handle bookings. I'm pretty much the guy that keeps the whole ship floating, really.
There you go. And you're also there in a number of sessions as well, a lot of the stuff that you book, right?
I mean, I'm not really in the sessions myself.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Really more of the engineers and whatnot. Gotcha. I'm really more on the back end, handling pre-production, making sure everything's good to go for sessions.
Gotcha. But yeah. One thing's for sure, one of your biggest loves, of course, is music and recording. And when we were at St. Rose together, you were there for the communications department. Your love of music and recording was so palpable, and that was something we were able to relate with. So before we get more into John Marshall Media, do you want to talk about that love of the studio that you had even back then?
Yeah, so ever since I was a kid, man, just listening to music, getting into it, it wasn't enough for me just to be passive about just listening. I needed to know how it was made. I needed to know how, let's say, the Beatles got those sounds on Revolver, how the drums on Nevermind got that sound to them. So I just devoured as many books as I could. I'm not an engineer myself. I dabble. I know what sounds good, basically. Yeah,
And
that
of
sort of
course, you're a
thing.
great guitarist in your own right as well. So that's kind of your side of things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely more of the, I wouldn't say engineering side of it, but more so just knowing what sound is good, like knowing what the sound is, pretty much.
So are you telling me you're like the Rick Rubin of audiobooks right now?
Yeah, kind of. You know that's the future goal, man. That's kind of the goal.
I love that though. That's a
Yeah.
great way of putting it though, and just being able to work and produce those kinds of things. Yeah, because one of the big things that you helped me out with back in college was what was it? Artist management? That was
Yeah.
freshman year. Was that freshman or sophomore year?
Oh, that was like spring of freshman years.
Yeah, that
So
must have been because that first photo shoot that we did, that was freshman year. God, I loved the photos that we did from that. I wish I still looked like that. Oh my
dude,
God.
I'm looking at those now, like, oh my God, like 50 pounds later. Oh,
Yeah,
dude.
I know. Same. I was like 170 back then. I'm like, I weighed myself 215 today, and I can promise you that is not in muscle. So,
Brother, brother.
that and the hairline. Oh, I miss my
Oh,
hair. I miss it.
dude, again, fresh cut today.
Yeah. Hey, your
And
hair is looking good. I like it. But can we also just talk about like how 5 years have aged us, like from the beginning of the pandemic to now?
oh my God, no, Connor, it's like those photos of Obama
Yes,
where
of Obama. I think the ones of Lincoln are really telling too. Have you seen the ones of Lincoln when he started versus when he ended? You would
Oh
have thought
yeah.
like that was like the beginning of his political career to the end of his political career. No, that was just the beginning end of his presidency, and that's pretty rough. Yeah. Honestly, back in 2020, I still had hair. And I was about 170 still. So I can't even say freshman year to senior year was all that much of a difference. It was senior year, pandemic to now. Ugh.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely pandemic through all the stuff that I've gone through, which check out Room 215
Yeah.
for that info.
No, absolutely. It was a incredible trying time. And as we talked about things going on with your family, of course, that was rough. But we also got to take into account you starting with John Marshall Media. That was during the pandemic years. How long have you been with them now?
So actually, this was like the tail end of the pandemic. So that would have been June of 22. So coming up on 3 years.
Okay. June of
No, like how?
22, that was still like,
Yeah.
sure, we were towards the end, but like we were still feeling it. I remember like still issues with gigs. I remember issues with events. As a caregiver, I remember issues with hospitals and places like that. I know you can say the same thing too.
Yeah.
We were still in it.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I started, we still had a mask policy for everyone working there that was coming in. We still had our engineers remoting into the studio, although we were starting to phase that out. Yeah, like we still had a lot of COVID policies in place at the time that I started, but slowly those kind of started to shift away.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So
Yeah.
during that time in 2022, what was it exactly that got you into working for the Manhattan studio? How'd you come across this in the first place?
Yeah, so I found this job when I was looking for gigs on Indeed, and I come across recording studio manager receptionist. I'm like, let me check this job out. This sounds great. I hop on a Zoom call with John, the founder of the company, have a great interview with him, and then I went into the studio for an in-person interview with the CEO of the company, and right from there, like I just loved the vibe of the place. I felt really good about it. And the next day, hey, want the gig? You start Monday.
Nice. That's pretty good. That's a great way to just be able to get into a job. And you've had a lot of fun there and you've done a lot of incredible things. Now, With John Marshall Media, when you look online, it specifically says we work with the big five publishers, and with all this. So, who are the big five publishers then? And I'm sure a number of people would probably recognize a lot of the stuff that comes out of them.
Yeah, so the big five publishers are the five, of course, major publishing houses within the industry, and those are Penguin Random House, Macmillan, Hachette, HarperCollins, and PRH, Hachette, Collins, Macmillan. Oh my God, why am I missing the. Oh, Simon and Schuster. Yes.
Simon and Schuster, very good.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, so no, those are big, and I can tell you already, I could picture their logos in my head, like as you're
Yeah.
saying all of it. So just being able to get all that, and audiobooks are so huge these days. So from your perspective, obviously, as you said, you're the one kind of managing everything. What do things look like when you're prepping for an audiobook session, and how does that go? How long does it last? Like for everybody who's like indulging in audiobooks, tell us how that sausage is being made.
Yeah, so you have to understand that not every audiobook is the same. It's not all cut and paste. It really depends on the book. Each case is different. Generally, what happens is I'll get an inquiry for studio space at our facilities in Manhattan. Yes, we have the room for it. And how many days is that going to take? Which, generally, I'm not really so much into that part, but when I am, I can tell you that is determined by word count. There's a specific formula for how long it takes. Connor, you've narrated books, you've produced stuff on ACX yourself, so you kind of know the drill there. Where there's two ways you can do it. You can either divide it by 9,000 words, which is what a pro can do on average, and then you double that. And then you take that amount, you times that by 6 hours, because that's typically how long the session lasts. Well, 7 hours, but you're taking out an hour for lunch. But yeah. So that lands you at how many days you're probably going to need in the studio. And so from there, it's okay, we got that. Okay, we have the script. Do we have all of our pronunciation research? Especially now with, we have a lot of romanticy novels, romance, fantasy novels having a lot of their own vocabulary, a lot of their own words. It's okay,
That's fair, yes.
are you pronouncing this right? So
A
there's
lot of
that
made
end
up
of it.
languages for sure, and
Yeah.
not just made up languages, but anything that derives from real languages, but they're still difficult to pronounce. I feel you 100% on that. I remember, oh God, I remember doing a couple audiobooks myself. There were some Native American terms that I really had to be careful with. There was some New Zealand terms that I had to be very careful with. I think those were really the big things that kind of hit me based on what I was working with. Also, all right, this is embarrassing. This is super embarrassing, actually. So I remember I was rushing to get an audiobook done once, and just for whatever reason, this term keep coming up, like reap what you sow or whatever you reap, whatever. I was doing this at like midnight, so my brain's not working. I kept saying reap, REAP, reap.
Oh God, so how many pickups wound up coming back?
I had to go back like two or three chapters to like redo all of that because it kept coming up way too much. And it was like probably like 1 o'clock in the morning when I finally realized, oh shoot, that's reap. What the hell am I saying? So,
Oh.
to any audiobook narrators out there or anybody who wants to try to start doing it, do it in the daytime, do it when you have sleep, and also be conscious of your deadlines. That's what I'm just going to say right there.
Also, prep the book,
Yes.
please.
Big time. So yeah, so based on that then, what does that look like? I know you said you're not in the studio all the time, but based on what you've seen and what you've experienced over those 3 years, what does that look like? How I don't know how to exactly say this for like layman's terms or somebody who's not familiar with it, but how strict, how loose, how many people are typically in the room? How does that, I know it varies
Yeah.
per project, but let's say it's just one narrator. for a project, you know?
Yeah, so usually it will be the narrator and the engineer. There are directors on, depending on the publisher. Oftentimes they're remote, but we are seeing directors coming into the studio more and more that are local to New York. But really, a lot of the times it is engineer talent in the room doing their thing.
Very
And
cool.
yeah. No, and I'll come in if they're like, ah, Mike, we need help with something like a quick mic adjust that they can't get or anything like that. Any little troubleshooting bits.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So when it comes to the sessions and a number of books, I'm sure this has been across all different genres, especially considering all those different publishers. Can you talk about some of your favorite people to work with?
So, oh man, we have so many incredible narrators that come in. We have the pleasure of working with folks that are on Broadway, and that do this on the side. Like, for instance, one of our most frequent people is Fred Berman, who plays Timon in The Lion King
I
on
was going to
Broadway.
say, that's amazing.
We had Imani Jade Powers, who played Delphi in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. She'll come in often. A talent that we work with quite a bit on the audiobook side, and also within our education e-learning side, a lot of ESL content that we do as well is Veronica Taylor, who is the original voice of Ash Ketchum on Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all. I love that. That's
Yeah, no,
awesome.
she's awesome. Love working with her. And then we get quite a few celebs also.
Anybody who you can name, or I know there's some NDAs, and I do want to talk about the NDA portion of this later, but anybody you're allowed to talk about?
So probably the biggest names that we've had in are Mary J. Blige and Elle Fanning.
Wow. What can you talk about what books they came in for?
So Mary J. Blige, she came in to actually do the children's book that she wrote herself.
Oh,
And
neat.
that was a time, man. That was a time just seeing Mary J. Blige in all her coolness just walk into our studio. It was
She's just a
just.
vibe, man. She's so cool. I can only imagine.
And then Elle, oh my God, the sweetest person on the planet. She was doing a book for. She's now on a TV show that's going to be airing on, I think, Amazon Prime, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But it was the original book that's now getting adapted to.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So that's really great interconnectivity. So anybody who's a fan of the show or anybody who's a fan of the book, vice versa, you're able to kind of go back and forth. That's awesome.
Definitely.
I remember you telling me when you were working with Elle and how sweet she was through the entire process. Well, hey, she did play Aurora and she's like one of the sweetest Disney princesses, so
Indeed. Yeah, that and also just incredible comic actor on The Great, which is one of my top shows, so
There you go. Oh my God. My dad and I started watching that. It is pretty good. It's a great take on historical fiction. Because obviously these were real people, but like, fictional scenarios and they take their liberties and everything. But oh my God, so much fun. That's so cool. I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors.
Baseball has umps, you idiot.
I don't have an umpire outfit, okay? Sue me. Hey there, I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors. Next up to the plate, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications. Philomena?
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Women-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards. It's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks, Philomena. Before I hand it back over to the ad ref, I want to let you know about a special performance I have coming up. On Father's Day, Sunday, June 15th, I'll be doing a special solo acoustic Father's Day performance at Heritage Financial Park, home of the Hudson Valley Renegades. I'll be performing from 12:30 to 2 o'clock ahead of the game, Hudson Valley Renegades versus Greenville Drive. You can find information in the description of this episode. That's enough out of me. Play ball! This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, and Walsh Valuation. And I'm sure it must be so rewarding because a number of these people who you mentioned, you know, these are heroes, these are people that you've seen their stuff, consumed their stuff. What's it like when working with them? I know, obviously, when I do interviews with people who I've loved and admire, I feel like I'm going to be more starstruck, but then like the moment that it happens, it's like very real and it's like, oh my God, just another person. What is that like for you to be able to interact with these big stars that come in?
I mean, it's number one, first off, it truly is an honor and a privilege to be able to interact with these people. But really, I don't get that starstruck. Like they are people just coming in and wanting to do the thing. Like they don't want a huge deal being made of. Like they like that they can come in kind of incognito, hunker down and work.
That's fair, because at the end of the day, it's their job. Exactly.
And we, you know what? I just want them to have a comfortable experience, just like any other narrator. I mean, in a lot of cases, more so, obviously, when we have VIPs come through. Like, you want that Fiji water? Here you go.
Do you have any of the brown M&M situations?
You know, that's actually, like, exceedingly rare.
Good.
Really,
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, no.
Well, I heard the whole brown M&M situation wasn't because they were being that picky, but rather they felt like their riders weren't being read thoroughly. So they threw that in there and they knew if they got that, that meant that they actually, the people they were working with actually read the rider.
Yeah, because Van Halen, they had like this huge lighting rig where if that wasn't put up properly, it would have just gone.
Yep. So to make sure that people read it and understood it, they threw in the brown M&Ms.
No.
and then there are real people who are like, I need this exactly because they are that big of a diva. So I hope you haven't had too many divas come into your studio to worry about.
No, honestly, everyone's been phenomenal. The thing about audiobooks, man, is it is just such, it is the most chill, low-key facet of the biz. Like, take it from a guy who's been on set, take it from a guy who's been in music, all that. This is just so chill.
And that's nice. Yeah. So one thing that we brought up before, and I was saying how, can you speak about this? Can you not? One thing that you've talked to me about is the issue of the NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements. And now, these are very big. I think the common person would probably be most familiar with them, especially when it comes to Marvel. Marvel has NDAs for everything. Actors joke around that a sniper is looking at them all the time. Do not spoil this upcoming movie. But can you talk about the reason why audiobook studios will have these NDAs as well?
Yeah, because we do have a lot of sensitive projects, a lot of big IPs. Like, we do a lot of Marvel, we do Star Wars projects, and those just cannot leak because A, of the legacy of them, and B, if it's a newer thing, just those high profile projects, no one wants those being leaked out.
Yeah, naturally. So the fact that, here I was using Marvel as an example, and here you are actually, you know, sometimes having that come in.
No, I mean, I can give you an example of how like big the security is for everything. Way before I started, Our big claim to fame is we did the audiobook for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. That is one of our
Wow.
Grammys, actually. And
That's incredible.
there was a story about how, at the time when the book was finished, a guy from the publisher came in and actually took this. This was during the days when we had CDs for the masters. He took a briefcase, handcuffed it to himself, and left with the masters. Was
Oh
from the
my
book.
God.
Yeah.
So wait, was this before? I'm assuming since this was for the audiobook for it, this was before Deathly Hallows was released to the public, right?
I mean, I believe it would have been because now, of course, we do try and get to the pub date. So everything's simul-pubbed. But
Yeah.
yeah. No,
Oh
I
my
mean,
God. That's crazy. When
yeah.
Harry Potter was coming out, those books and those movies, yeah, that was a wild time. I can only imagine. It just sounds like Secret Service carrying around the football, you know?
Yeah, no. Again, take it from someone who's had Secret Service around. Very much so.
Wait, you have had Secret Service come in?
Yeah, no, we've had politicians come in. The book's out now, so I can actually talk about this. Chuck Schumer came in to do his book a while back. So Secret Service came in, did his whole swipe of the studio. That was a crazy morning.
I'm sure. I bet like it's probably like heart pounding, even when you know that you're totally clean, you're fine, but they're still scrutinizing everything and your heart's pounding. It was like, am I guilty of something? What's going on?
Definitely, definitely. But yeah, no. That was just also also it tested how many people can fit in my lounge, so
I'm sure. I'm sure that must have been a big crowd coming through. But Mike, I think that's incredible with this going on. So when it comes to the world of audiobooks and podcasts, and honestly, it only keeps getting bigger and bigger. Where do you see this going as the industry keeps expanding, and where do you hope that it goes just simply from the studio side?
I mean, I definitely see it just continuing on an upward lift. And I really am curious to see how markets around the world expand, not just in the English language, UK, US division, because we also have a division down in Latin America that's based out of Mexico City. And we do a lot of Spanish language audiobooks from there. So I definitely am interested to see how the global market shifts in terms of that. And on the studio side, honestly, I just want to see people keep coming back to us for outstanding audio and an incredible experience. So whether that's new publishers, a lot of indie authors are coming through, thanks to Amazon's self-publishing aspect. So that's been a huge boost. And also, another big thing now is visual novels. For anime, well, not visual novels, but light novels. We have a whole division now for that, so I'm interested in seeing how that grows.
Oh, talk to me about that. That's something I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, so light novels, they're basically the novelizations of manga series, and those have been growing and growing ever more so as they've been interested in getting those made into audiobooks. That's actually one of our biggest clients now with Seven Seas. Where we've done series for them, such as Mushoku Tensei, we've done the Evangelion novelizations, among several others. And that's actually been a huge thing now, is making sure that we have the Japanese pronunciations right. Especially because, and I can attest to this as an anime fan, fans are ravenous, man. You
That's
get
true.
one pronunciation wrong.
No, I hear you on that. So, with a novelization of a manga, now please correct me if I'm wrong on this. So, does that take like, so obviously with a manga, there's a lot of the visuals to it. So, this is essentially breaking everything down to text and giving it kind of like breaking down the setting. So, it's not like,
So it is more of an, it is a novel. You'll have like the odd illustration at the start of a chapter and whatnot, but this is purely the novel.
Interesting.
of it.
Okay. This is a new world to me, but that's
I
awesome to
mean,
hear.
we do audio versions of graphic novels also,
Oh wow. That's cool.
which is always an interesting time.
Yeah, how does that go with something that, obviously the text is so important with a graphic novel, but how do you interweave that then?
I mean, we had one session once where I had to have like two tablets set up, one with like the text itself and then the other with the graphic novel, so the narrator knew what the hell was happening. And then, yeah, no, it's always fun seeing those turn out, especially in the audio world. Yeah.
Yeah, I think at that point, or at least I would imagine, it kind of almost feels like you're voice acting for a cartoon
Yeah,
at
which
that point.
actually at that point, which actually we've been able to source quite a few anime voice actors for those light novels. For instance, we had a series called Kuma Kuma Bear where we have the actual actor from the anime voicing the novel, which is great.
That's so cool. Is that
Yeah.
one of the animes that you're a fan of, or did you pick it up afterwards?
I mean, I picked it up afterwards just out of curiosity. This has definitely expanded my realm of anime watching beyond just your JoJo's, your DBZ's, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'll admit, as much as I love DBZ, the Team Four Star Abridged series is still like the closest to my heart. I love how irreverent it is. It is hilarious. There are jokes that I still make to this day from that, and nobody gets the reference, but it's okay. But yeah, Mike, as we're wrapping up on this episode now, and we're talking about all these different genres and different things that you are experiencing, what are you hoping that people who are indulging in audiobooks, the general public, what kind of message do you hope that they'll get about discovering and experimenting and finding new things to love, enjoy, and to learn?
I just say keep listening, keep exploring. There's so many great books out there, so many amazing genres. You really just have to try and listen as much as you can, and we appreciate all the people that do listen, of course. And also know that a lot of work goes into it. But that romanticy book that you're listening to, that was like a whole week of recording, whole lot of pronunciation and research prep, just a lot of editing and mastering. Appreciate all the work that goes into it, because I certainly didn't until I got into the gig.
No, it's true. Once you actually see how something's done, it definitely changes your perspective. So, yeah, no, seriously, it's more than just your favorite narrator stepping into a booth, talking for X amount of time, and they're good to go. It is a lot of hard work. As somebody who's done this on, I wouldn't say an amateur level, I was paid, but I was, I'm not working with some big studio when I was narrating. Like, it's a lot of work. It is. A lot goes into it, and I think it's really incredible. And I'm happy to see the trajectory that the industry is going. Heck, my grandmother had like the tapes, she would be listening to the audiobooks as the tapes. And that's just like one thing that has continued through the different generations of media, whether that was a record or whether that was a tape or whether it was a CD or now you can stream it, whatever that be. Audiobooks are here to stay, and they're only getting stronger.
Indeed, man, indeed. Yeah, and you made a good point, actually, for those that are seeking to do this, like, it's not just going into a room and reading aloud or, doing a bunch of crazy voices. You're still acting, you're still performing. So really, my advice to anyone that wants to get into this, well, first off, have some sort of performance background or public speaking background. Take acting classes, do improv, play guitar in a rock and roll band, anything that gets you up and performing. And then also, before you go with the big boys, definitely get your feet wet with ACX, which is Amazon and Audible's platform for narrators. And then, as you slowly start to grow, take classes. There are tons of resources for audiobook narration and training. And then eventually you'll work your way up to the big boys.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice right there. Mike, thank you so much for being on this episode of Walsh Wednesday. Thank you for breaking down so much of what's going on in the audiobook realm. Of course, like I ask majority of our guests, is there, I know you've said a lot of great nuggets already, but is there any last little nugget that you want to leave this episode with?
You know what, man? Honestly, I think I've broken down enough wisdom for one day. Gone. Always a pleasure to spend some time with you, brother.
Absolutely, dude. And just like you said, spend some time. We got to do the sign off. I'm Connor.
I'm Mike.
And as always, we're glad we get to.
Spend some time.
You heard me play spend some time more than most people do.
Yeah, I know. Every morning.
Not every morning, but there were some. There were some. Yeah. Had to rehearse. And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.